This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Harley Jenner is going to join us in about a half an hour. We're an hour away from the big announcement of the ACC Women's Basketball Awards. Will be heard exclusively here on Packer and Durham. Coach of the Year, all ACC, all rookies. Unbelievable list. I mean, but we're sworn to secrecy, so nothing.
Player of the Year?
All of it.
Player of the Year?
We're not going to say
we're doing Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Freshman of the Year.
Till 9 a.m.
Morning Host of the Year for women's basketball.
No, not doing that. By the way, I'm having a hard time with the Josh Pastner mask. I've moved it around during every break. It's now over the top of my head between the Georgia Tech and Clemson basketballs, but you really can't see it. So we're going to have to figure that out.
No, it looks –
disappears, doesn't it? And I'm not going
to why don't you fix that?
I'm not going to wear it.
Why don't you wear that? Why don't you put that on for a minute?
No,
let's put that on.
No, see, it's – Wes, you weren't here. It's signed. See that? Mark, here you go. The famous face shield.
Yeah, see, it looks good.
But I'm not going to wear it. I'm going to have to figure that out. I don't know the answer to that yet.
I think we got to get a dark piece of poster board and then tape it to that.
See, that wouldn't work either.
No.
I have to figure that one out. But I do appreciate Coach doing that because he said he would. Looks great. So, awesome.
Basement
All right,
troubles.
Mr. Durham, one of the things I mentioned to you yesterday was, in my opinion, up and above the games themselves, the race for the double bye in the men's ACC tournament, to me, is going to be the biggest storyline. While we're sitting here talking about Duke and Georgia Tech tonight with the bubble, and that comes into play. Syracuse gets the big win last night. They now come into play. Louisville now without Malik Williams and having both Virginia and Virginia Tech left on the schedule. That's going to come into play. But in the picture of the league, you want to be 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the best case scenario heading into the men's tournament next week, because you really would love to put your feet up while everybody's playing on a Wednesday or a Thursday and just get some extra time to chill and grill, get those legs nice and fresh. You feel pretty good about Florida State's situation. You feel pretty good about Virginia's situation with their win last night. So it really kind of leaves, I think, two spots open for about a half dozen teams in this chase for the double bye.
Sure.
And, you know, there's great games, there's great storylines, but, man, it's a big deal. We talked to Brad Brunell about this yesterday, and he even got it. Like, hey, yeah, we would really, really like to be one of those teams to play on Friday in Greensboro. It's a big deal coming up next week.
Well, what you want is the history of the tournament. There's conflicting history here. First of all, you go back and look at the last 6 years. Of the last six ACC champions, five of them were in the double bye. 2017 is the outlier to so many things in ACC tournament history. Number one, it's the first and only time in 66 previous tournaments that the five seed has won the tournament, and that was Duke in 2017, okay? That's the number one thing. The second conflicting piece of information, Pack, in the history of the ACC tournament, only 17 times have the top four seeds made the semifinals at the ACC tournament. 17 out of 66. Now, you tell me, that crazy? That's crazy.
Well,
it's not a big percentage.
Well,
so,
it tells me I'd still want to be one of those four. That's what it tells me at the end of the day. I would much rather be of the four, because I think during this COVID year where life was so hard and practices sometimes were not really practices, I think that the grind of this season mentally on teams has been harder than usual. And I want to be a guy that would rather be on the couch on Thursday of next week than having to play a game knowing, hey, if we win, we play again tomorrow. I want to be 1, 2, 3, or 4 this particular year, in my opinion.
Well, remember, you're going to play Thursday if you're one of the top four. You hope to get to the semis on Friday night, and then you go to the championship Saturday night. But, I mean, I can give you the tournament logic kind of goes out the window, but you're right. We may have played ourselves into the most unique landscape ever for the ACC tournament, even more unique than maybe last year when the thing got shut down on Thursday morning. All right, but let's go to where we are now. let's assume, dangerous, right? But nonetheless, Florida State and Virginia will achieve the bye, the double bye. You want to go there with me on that? You okay
Absolutely.
With that?
Totally comfortable with Florida State and Virginia okay. feeling good about having a chance. I say Friday, I meant Thursday, chilling and grilling, right? So, yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
There we go. So, let's go down from 3 to 8 here with potential candidates for the last two. And you may say to yourself, well, wait a second, that's bananas. Yeah, no, it's not. But it's let's not. Try. Let's start Virginia Tech, Louisville, Clemson, the Hokies. Here's what they got left. Louisville tomorrow at NC State on Saturday. Oh, boy. I mean, everybody's playing somebody this week, aren't they? It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't hide, right? I mean, you just can't say, hey, we got Boston College, Miami, or Wake. But that's not going to happen with this group. Virginia Tech's got real games. I mean, Louisville is no joke, and Louisville's playing for their – not only the big picture, you know, as far as – hey, Gelinardi still says they got work to do. And, I mean, they're on the good side of the bubble.
Wow.
You don't have Malik Williams – you got the giant win against Duke, but you really can't afford LL if you're Louisville. And you're for Virginia Tech. Hey, the good news is you looked a little flat a week ago against Georgia Tech, but you just totally obliterated Wake Forest over the weekend. It looked like they'd kind of gotten back in the flow of things.
Well, we're showing you Virginia Tech's overall mark, 15-5. Remember, the Hokies are 9-4 in the ACC. Louisville is 8-4. That's where the winning percentage gets a little curious. A win by Louisville to get to 9-4 would obviously be better than Virginia Tech's 9-5. The game tomorrow night, by the way, ESPN2, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander at 7 o'clock. All right, let's go next to Clemson. Oh, the Tigers now all of a sudden find themselves in a scenario where they go to Syracuse tomorrow night here on ACC Network, and, oh, by the way, Pittsburgh at noon on Saturday to close the regular season. Pac, you've said it how many times? The Tigers are 9-5, and they are in a most advantageous spot with a couple of wins.
I said it a month ago. If they can get to February, they're in business. The problem was, could they get to February? And they were really struggling with COVID, as Brett Brunell said. I think we took most of January off is what his line was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Syracuse is a big threat because the Cuse, after that win last night, it knows they got a chance to play themselves into the dance, big picture on the bubble. So Clemson will get Syracuse's right. best shot, where, again, they're 12-1 at home. But of all the teams that we're going to list, there is no doubt that Clemson has the best and easiest path to go WW and get to 11-5. They have the easiest path
right.
of all these teams that we're going to list.
All right. Let's talk about Louisville, though, who we mentioned a moment ago in relationship to Virginia Tech, because Louisville is in a spot where we said 8-4 in the league. No Malik Williams now for the remainder of the year, but you've gotten a lot of progress out of Jalen Withers. You get David Johnson back on the floor, Dre Davis. I mean, the Cards have the firepower, and Samuel Williamson inside. I mean, Chris Mack, I mean, he knows what he doesn't have, but he also knows what he has. Quinn Salinski, they got to get him going a little bit, I think. You know, there's all sorts of weaponry here for the Cards. But you look at the schedule at Virginia Tech and at Virginia, while you may think Clemson has the best route, I think Louisville has the hardest pack.
I agree. And it's weird, too, with both these teams. They've really had Virginia Tech's number. Right, I mean, if they win this game tomorrow, not only from mm-hmm. a percentage standpoint, but if it ever gets to any kind of tiebreaker, they got the sweep. So they've owned Virginia Tech,
yep.
but they've been owned by Virginia. And the Hoos are going to have all week to get mm-hmm. healthy. And I'm sure this Kihei Clark and Jay Huff not starting in the second half, that was a little kick in the you-know-what to get them dialed in and ready to go, that, hey, it's go time. And I suspect those guys will be ready to play when they see Louisville. So I think the Cards now, without Malik Williams, they've got probably the most interesting week ahead, given coming off the great win against Duke, lose Malik Williams. Carly Jones will join us coming up in about 20 minutes. The leadership of that backcourt has never been more important for Louisville than it is right now this week.
All right. Agree with you on that. Next stop on this train, North Carolina. Tar Heels didn't help themselves last night, friends.
Nope, sure didn't.
It just got a little more interesting for Coach Roy and the boys. The loss at Syracuse puts them at an ACC mark of 9-6 with Duke on Saturday in Chapel Hill Smith Center with fans. We saw how valuable that was for them last week against Florida State. But remember what Carolina had to do to win the ball game in Durham? Hit an obscene amount of threes. Something they did not do last night at the Carrier Dome. To me, Carolina's chances at the top four took a big hit last night, Mark.
I'm with you 100%. I'm not saying it eliminated them because there's still always a crazy chance with all the combinations in front of them.
Right.
But I think their chances of getting to the final four of the ACC are not nil, but I think BPI would even say they're under 50%. And that's saying something. You know, the other thing comes into play, too.
We should have gotten BPI to run these numbers.
No, we shouldn't. We really should keep bad predictions, indeed, out of it. But I think that North Carolina, you know, the other thing is we're going to talk about win percentages at the end to determine this. But if it turns out teams have played the same amount of games, you know, matchups. I mean, if it turns out, for example, that Clemson and North Carolina end up in a tie, Clemson wins. They got the tiebreaker. I mean, so North Carolina, I think, is really probably on the outside looking in of the top four unless craziness happens in front of them and they beat Duke Saturday.
Right.
I think North Carolina's in trouble.
All right.
From that perspective.
Agree for the top four. Yeah. A sneaky candidate for the bye is Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Now, they got to have some things happen in front of them here. But when you start looking at how this is going to be done on winning percentage, don't forget now, I mean, you look, if it ends up in a mathematical tie, it's broken by head-to-head. But in winning percentage here, a win tonight against Duke and a win Friday against Wake Forest in Winston-Salem puts Georgia Tech at 11-6. It also, when you look at who's playing one another in front of them, particularly Louisville and Virginia Tech, makes that a pretty interesting little dynamic for Josh Pastner's team.
No question. You cannot forget about the Jackets. And that's why we keep going back to this game tonight and the tentacles that this game has on so much stuff. I mean, this, you know, fight for the double bye, the bubble as far as the national picture is concerned. Georgia Tech's existence in the NCAA tournament, I think, is kind of at stake a little bit tonight as well. Same thing for Duke. I mean, if they lose this game and go LL to Louisville and Georgia Tech and with North Carolina in front of them on the road, I think Duke's fate is sealed. They're going to have to win the ACC tournament, at least make a crazy deep run and beat a lot of good teams doing it. So there is so much on the line tonight in these games tomorrow. But that double bye to me is really an amazing carrot for everybody to chase. And there's so many teams that have a chance to be a part of it. Again, this is given the fact that we think Florida State and Virginia are good to go for the double bye. But I think there's two spots open, and I do think there's six or seven teams that really, truly have a chance to get there.
I don't know that the Blue Devils are a candidate to play spoiler here, but their own fate would also be to the dismiss of others by playing Georgia Tech tonight and Carolina on Saturday. The Blue Devils are last candidate here. Seven losses probably makes it a little bit too far of a reach here to get to the double bye. But you look at where they are and who they're going to impact on this. And they're still eighth in the ACC. So we put Duke on this list because you could take certainly Carolina, who's already thinned things out after the loss at Syracuse last night, but you could do plenty to damage Georgia Tech's chances of not just the double bye, but Georgia Tech's chances at maybe even the NCAA tournament. Who knows? But nonetheless, it's an interesting dynamic that faces Coach K and the Blue Devils starting tonight in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't like their chances at all in the double bye, but the important thing for Duke, the most important thing for Duke is Duke. Right, I mean, they're on the first four out, according to Lenardi. So I don't even think the double bye is in the conversation in that locker room. It's all about, hey, let's take care of us. Let's go win on the road this week at Georgia Tech, which will not be easy, and at North Carolina, and you know that is going to be a fist fight. So I think Duke knows exactly what they've got to do. They've got to win both games this week. Must win both games this week. I don't think they're worried about the double bye. And to be honest with you, Wes, I don't even think they're a candidate for the double bye. Even if they win both games, I don't think they can get there, in my opinion. But they're going to have an impact on who does. And so that's why they're on this list.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. We're getting down to the number of games. And we said this a long time ago, and I can't remember exactly the context, but we talked about it was really going to come down when we talked about winning percentage to figure out standings as to how many games teams have played.
Yeah.
So the last couple nights when I looked at the standings and the math involved, I've started counting games. Isn't it crazy? The kind of year we're fortunate to get through this regular season pack, as we've talked about. There have been some major bumps in it, but we're here we are at the end doing the math again on how many games teams have played in ACC play.
Yeah, and we knew 20 was a dream, right? 20 wasn't going to happen. But I think we all thought, hey, if we can get 15, 16, 17 in, it'd be a really an amazing run. And I didn't think we could get to that many, to be honest with you, Wes. There were times you know, in December and January with the pauses for everybody being off for a couple weeks here and there and the impact it had on scheduling. I wasn't sure that we could get to 15 or 16 conference games, but we're going to do that. But you're right. It's not so much wins and losses as far as percentages is what's going to break be the tiebreaker down the road here, because not everybody's going to be able to compare apples to apples as far as the same amount of games.
There we go. Sit tight when we come back. What happens first? Presented by
Dish.
Thank you very much. And always count on you for that, Pards. Sit tight. Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Curly Jones, outstanding guard from Louisville, will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. And, of course, Seth Greenberg yesterday on this show said he should be your ACC Player of the Year. Big week ahead, though, for the Cards, as we pointed out. They jump on the Commonwealth with both the Hokies and the Hoos. We'll see how that plays out. But, Mr. Durham, right now we head back to the smart people up there in Bristol. No fire alarms today, but they have been putting out fires all
morning.
Look at
Macri, ready to ride.
Yep. He's fired up, fresh off a big W last night. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. All about the orange today. Josh Macri joins us. What's happening?
How's it going? Yeah, the orange did win yesterday, but I am wearing blue. A little bit of Carolina blue, ironically. What are you going to do? Speaking of blue and shades of such, our first question, what happens first, which, of course, is brought to you by
Dish.
Yes, thank you for that. What happens first? Duke loses an ACC game by 10 points or more, something that hasn't happened all season, surprisingly, despite their struggles. Or Matthew Hurt scores less than 10 points in a game, something that's only happened once this year. Happened against Carolina when he scored 7.
Duke loses by 10 or more. Matthew Hurt's done in single digits. He'll be a double-figure guy the rest of his college career.
I think Mr. Durham is correct with that assessment. Quality analytics right there. I agree with you 100%. True.
Thanks. True, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Look, he's seeing the basketball, right, Pack? I mean, he's like the guy. What do you say? Put it, make everything you put look at.
Yep.
He's making everything he looks at.
And he's going to get touches, right? I mean, it's now geared for him to go off, and he has stepped up and played great. Great. And he leads the league in scoring, and I suspect he'll get an opportunity tonight. But that matchup, Moses Wright and the boys, that's going to be some kind of game tonight. Should be a good one.
Yep.
So let's take a road trip down Tobacco Road for our next question here. What happens first? NC State loses a men's basketball game against Pitt. They've won 12 in a row. Or the Wolfpack doesn't win the ACC wrestling title. They've done that 3 consecutive years.
Man, these are hard today.
You know,
Boy, Pop's going to be mad at us if I say they don't win the wrestling title, right? You know, they come back on the show?
Here's the deal, though. There's great competition in wrestling, right? NC State can still be really, really good and not win a wrestling crown. I mean, I keep talking about, you know, what Virginia Tech's got, North Carolina and Pitt and Virginia. And they're only going to get better, too. So I think NC State will lose to Pitt in hoops first.
Okay. I agree with that.
Even though they own Pitt. Goodness gracious. I mean, they just own Pitt. But I think the Pack will
eventually. Keats will be upset. Well, the Wolfpack, we got too many Wolfpack fans watch this show. They're not going to be happy with us having to answer this question.
Yeah, but
we're putting stuff out here on the plate that are like.
You got to answer.
Okay. I'll go the basketball route, too.
You know, here's the other thing. We never would have thought NC State's men's swimming and diving team would not have won an ACC title. Well, it just happened over the weekend with Louisville since Dirt won their first. I mean, you know, all good things eventually come to an end. I mean, Clemson eventually will not win the ACC championship in football, right? I mean, it's just the way it works. That's sports, man. It's just the way it works in this league. I know Duke has just flat out owned Georgia Tech in men's basketball. Well, eventually that streak could come to an end. Could end tonight. So you got to pick one. So I think NC State owning Pitt, that will end first.
That'll be music to the ears of ACC champion Hayden Heidley, who will join us tomorrow at 7:30. Next one. Today is the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, allegedly. To that end, what happens first? The ACC single-game scoring record is broken for men's basketball. That record is 58 points set by Danny Ferry. Or the single-game record for points is broken in women's basketball. That number is 48, set by Chelsea Douglas of Wake in 2013. You okay, Wes?
Women's basketball.
What do you mean, allegedly, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points?
Did you see it?
Well, no.
False.
It was at Hershey, Pennsylvania in 1963.
All right.
False.
What about the ACC?
Women's basketball record goes down.
The women's record of points per game? Yes.
No, not per game. Single game.
By the way, single game, rather. Yeah. Okay. The men's record, by the way, of 58 from Danny Ferry broke a record that David Thompson set of 57, right, Pack, against Buffalo?
Yep. Yeah. I think the women's game is more inclined of somebody just going off and saying, hey, guess what? Tonight, you got nothing for me. I think the men's game's a little. I mean, Cade Cunningham put 40 on the Sooners over the weekend. You don't see that very often. I think the ladies' game, the ladies are getting them down the floor, scoring a lot of points. I think that could happen.
Yeah.
I think it can happen with the ladies' game.
I like that. I like that idea. Women's side more than the men's side on that one, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For what it's worth, the most points scored in the game.
I can't believe Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points is alleged, by the way. Alleged 100 points.
I don't know. I'm not the only person who thinks it.
Let me tell you something. With Wilt, there were a lot of things and crazy numbers that were alleged. But I'm going to go with 100 in a game. I mean, there's stats and streaks with commas in it.
Interesting.
Makes your eyeballs pop out.
Before we get ourselves into trouble, for what it's worth, the most points scored this season, 37 on the men's side by Matthew Hurt, 36 on the ladies' side by Morgan Jones. All right, next question. What happens first? The ACC Men's Player of the Year comes from a team that finishes under 500. That hasn't happened since Virginia Tech's Eric Green in 2013. Or a team that doesn't earn a double bye wins the ACC tournament. As we just discussed, that hasn't happened since Duke did it in 2017.
By the way, when's the ACC Player of the Year announced? Is that announced before the tournament?
Yes, that will be announced before the tournament. It'll be next week.
That'll be on the show, I'm assuming?
That's a good assumption.
All right, I'm going to say it's going to happen next week because I think Justin Champagne is going to win the Player of the Year. Might be wrong.
I'm going to say that Justin Champagne will win the Player of the Year, so I'll go with that. I don't think a team without the double bye, although I'm not I'm not convinced that the double bye is this insurance policy everybody else does. I mean, the six seed's won it five times, but hasn't won it since 1983. Actually, Maryland 04 was a six seed. Okay, I'll go ahead with Champagne. I'll go Champagne. Yeah, I'll go the ACC Player of the Year from an under 500 team.
That's a good question.
That is a very good question.
Because let me tell you something. There is a distinct chance that teams like Duke, North Carolina, and Georgia Tech are not in the double bye. And it wouldn't surprise me if any of those three won the ACC men's basketball tournament. I don't even think that's a reach.
Yeah.
No, the thing that concerns me about Georgia Tech and the event in Greensboro is depth, Pac. I mean, single game, like the NCAA tournament day off thing, the ACC tournament playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, potentially Saturday, with a team that really only plays seven guys. That remember the old Bobby Crimmins thin goal line in 1985 at the Omni? That's what it would take for Josh Pastner to replicate something like that in Greensboro.
But they're good enough. I mean, again, who knows how this plays out? Who knows who gets the double bye? That's a really good question right there. That might be the best of all of them. And again, you know who should be really proud of that?
There you go.
Number one, the Lumberjacks and Chrissy for coming up the questions, and also Dish for sponsoring such a quality segment.
Good job, Pac. You should be proud of yourself for fitting that in, too. All right, one more here before we get to Carly Jones. What happens first? Leonard Hamilton's shiny new contract expires, or Coach Ham reaches the first Final Four of his career?
Hamilton reaches a Final Four.
I agree with that.
I think the Noles can do it this year.
I think they're good enough this year to go, for sure.
Yep. I think they got a shot.
We should have added the we should have asked about the new contract yesterday. Is there some sort of co-host clause in there for the ACC Network morning show that he wants to be a part of, apparently?
He's got and Roy and who else? Coach Fortner last week or 2 weeks ago with Georgia Tech. She showed up on game day with a W, won at Florida State. Roy's undefeated. Leonard's doing his thing. They got carte blanche. If they want in, they're in. They're in. It's a given.
That's it. All right, sit tight. When we come back, we cross the halfway point on the Tuesday show with, man, you talk about a guy that has impacted the Cardinals for sure and the ACC as well. Carly Jones from Cincinnati, Ohio, via Radford, straight to the Ville and making a difference. We'll talk to Carly Jones again on Packer and Durham right after this.
Packer and Durham. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. On a Tuesday, again, the ACC Women's Basketball Awards will be announced exclusively on Packer and Durham coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, making a return engagement to the show is a gentleman who, as I mentioned yesterday, Seth Greenberg, says he believes will be the ACC Player of the Year. Pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strong endorsement there. Carly Jones getting the job done.
Well, let's bring Carleek on here because as of this morning, he is third in the league in scoring. And this is in league play now. Third in the league in scoring, fourth in assists, third in steals. And once again, has the stat that's maybe the one that I don't know if he likes this or not, leading the league in minutes played at almost 38 minutes a game. Come on, man. How about a little break in the action there? What's going on? You good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I think our coaches did well with getting me in shape in the preseason, so I don't really mind playing them any minutes at all.
Carly, man, when you got between all this quarantine and hanging out by yourself, I mean, by the time you get on the court, man, there's no need to come out, right? Let's go play. We've been waiting all year to play. Let's go play. And even on Saturday, if we're going to play a little bonus basketball, that's even better. Get five more minutes. Let's go play, right?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
Especially when you win, right? You knew how big a deal that was Saturday for both teams going into the game. And even Wes and I talked about it. You know, the team that wins is like, okay, great, cool, next. Who's up next? The team that loses, That's one of those you got to reach deep down in your soul and get ready for the next week. Yeah. But that was a monster win for your guys. And just kind of sets the stage for this week because you got two big ones this week too.
Yes, definitely. We just knew coming into the game that, you know, it would have been a big game for us. And it was a must-win game. We feel like that, you know, all of our games for the rest of the season are must-win games. And I think that the game against Duke was a good place to start.
Carlique, when you look at kind of the dynamic of this team and, you know, what happened yesterday or was announced yesterday and happened Saturday, the unfortunate re-injury from Malik is just – that's, you know, that's heartbreaking. But you guys have kind of been there this year without him. So Mark and I were talking earlier in the show, how does the mental momentum get regained after you guys go through something like that, given how weird this year's been?
Really, we just, you know, we kind of try to stick together, kind of, you know, just, you know, continue to talk to one another. Like I said, the thing that happened with Malik is unfortunate. Definitely. He'll definitely be missed. On the floor with us, but I know Malik. He's a strong dude, and even in practice, he was, you know, he was there, and I know that he'll use his voice as a captain, as a leader, to also, you know, have our backs as well and continue to talk to us and the young guys on the squad, and I think we're just going to move forward. Like I said, it's definitely unfortunate, but I think we've been hit with a lot of situations this year, a lot of, you know, multiple COVID pauses, games being switched and thrown on us quickly than usual. So I think we're prepared. I think this season has kind of put us in a situation to be prepared for it. And we're just looking forward to see what happens next.
Carlique, you know, I think everybody would agree that your team is better with Malik in the lineup because they make you whole. But you've played so many games without him that you probably have become accustomed to get, hey, here's how we got to go attack people. But your backcourt, of which you're the star, you and Mr. Johnson back there in company, I always say when we get into March, man, games become half-court games. And if you don't have great guard play, there is a limit on your club. And the one thing I think we would all agree after watching you all season long is the strength of this team's in that backcourt. And I'm sensing that you're probably thinking, hey, well, I'd love to have Malik with us, but the fact that he's not, you know what? It gives even more responsibility to you and Johnson and company to say, guess what? We got to take over games coming down the stretch.
Definitely. Just, you know, when one, I feel like, and it's not just, you know, us in the backcourt. For sure. I know we get a lot of credit, you know, throughout the whole year, just me and David and talking about, you know, our backcourt abilities, the positive things we do for the team. But I just think that, you know, we have games where, you know, guys have stepped up because we're missing pieces. You know, we had a game against, you know, Georgia Tech with no David Johnson and Sam Williamson stepped up with a double-double. Jalen Withers stepped up, you know. So Quinn Slezinski came in the game and you know, produced. So I think that, you know, yeah, we get a lot of credit and a big chunk of the credit is kind of given to us. But I definitely think that our team is prepared. I think those guys are always able to, you know, be ready to step up and you know, do what they need to do.
Take me through what this year's been like for you. I mean, we all know you had a great run at Radford. You go into grad transfer situation, highly coveted guy. You come to Louisville. It seems like a great fit. Now, the obstacles of playing the game, one thing. But, man, when you get on the floor, Carlique, you've been going. I mean, has it just been basketball, or have you noticed the different level of intensity, the different kind of game? I mean, what's been that change like for you? And man, you've made it look easy going from the Big South to the ACC.
I like to tell myself, I convince myself that it is just basketball at the end of the day. It comes down to the work you put in. It comes down to the time you put in. And that's how I kind of approach it. But the intensity is, you know, a lot more intense, you know, bigger players, better players, and the competition is pretty good. It's you know, you got to bring your A game and be on top of your game every night. But like I said, I like to think it's basketball. You know, I keep my head down. I work. And I think the preparation of me working on my game all the time and stuff put me in a great position.
Well, it certainly paid off because I mentioned Seth Greenberg yesterday on the show thinks you're the ACC player of the year. I know you're a humble. You're going to low key that and say, ah, man, we got games to play. I'm not worried about that stuff. But your next game is Virginia Tech. You've played these guys once, found a way to win the game. What do you remember about the Hokies and what do you think you're going to see tomorrow night in Blacksburg?
I like to say we get everyone's best game. I like to say we need to be prepared. Virginia Tech's a great team. You know, they're a great defensive team. You know, they pack the paint in. They force tough shots, and you know they run their offense to a T. They they screen well. They move the ball well. I think they play well together. So now I have to play them on their home court will definitely be a challenge. I just think that if we come in and we, have a great practice today and we all got our heads on our shoulders and our minds right, that we'll come out victorious.
All right. Now going to Blacksburg, I know that's not far from the old hangout, over in Radford. So, you're going to dive over, maybe get a sandwich at BT's over there or something like that before you, for the ball game tomorrow, get over there for a little lunch or something. Tell Coach Mack, hey, I got this spot over in Radford. We can get something to eat.
Oh, man, I wish. It's definitely going to be a good feeling and a great feeling to be back close to Radford and stuff. But I doubt we're able to go down there and get any grub.
It's a business trip tomorrow, yeah. Boys. That's a business trip tomorrow.
Right.
It's a business trip. I get it. Yeah. Hey, stay well, Carleek. You've had a great year. We look forward to watching you continue to roll toward March, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
You bet. Carleek Jones, easy for first team All-ACC. And Coach Greenberg might be right, Pac. He's a strong candidate for player of the year, no doubt.
Tremendous year. But, boy, even more responsibility now knowing that Malik Williams will not be with this team for March, which is disappointing for all of us as college basketball fans, because Louisville with Williams in the lineup is whole. There's still going to be plenty good without him, but yep. Man, with him, they could have been a dangerous, dangerous team. Big picture.
Yep, you bet. Stay tuned. We'll highlight the Monday night wins for Syracuse and Virginia when we come back. And don't forget, in about 15 minutes, we will have the ACC Women's Basketball Awards. Every last one of them, apparently. We got them all. First team, second team, freshman, player, coach. We got it all for you, starting at 9 on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It is a Tuesday. Big games tonight. Big announcement coming up here in about 15 minutes. Everything you ever wanted to know with hardware regarding the women's basketball situation in the Atlantic Coast Conference, we will cover it coming up here in about 13 minutes, give or take.
You know how big a day it is, by the way? Yeah, big a day it is? Mighty Elon Day. Just like last year. Remember when I wore the shirt? Mighty Elon Day today, Pac.
Is anybody outside of Burlington, North Carolina, even aware of that? Just asking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The alums are, man. We got alums. We got alums all over the place. Elon Day. By the way, thanks to my roommate, Tony Chavis, who probably forgot that he gave me one of his jerseys from the late 1980s. The old Elon 24 jersey of Tony Chavis, who does watch our show, by the way, from Houston, Texas. TC, here's your jersey. I got it for you still.
It's good that you got the 24 the, up there because that's what Elon was ranked before they lost and choked over the weekend in football.
Stop. Really? Really?
Am I saying something?
Clemson wins a few games and all of a sudden you're hammering people?
No,
I got you.
When Elon has their network, then that'll be really cool. But, they don't have a network. So, they're not writing us a check. They're not writing me a check. Not writing ACC the check.
All right.
And normally the ACC's writing you a check to show up to get killed in football or basketball. That's normally
That's right. Yeah. And Dave Blank, the athletics director, and Dr. Book, the president, they all appreciate that.
We appreciate that ACC money so they can make an appearance to be roadkill.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
We should.
Ah, it's just Elon Day. It's Elon Day. Here we go. Two games last night backwards. In the ACC.
No backwards.
Two games.
Can't spell
let's
Elon
go to the dome.
NL.
I heard you. Thank you. Let's go to the Carrier Dome in Central New York last night. Buddy Boeheim goes over 1,000 career points. Orange is red hot from behind the perimeter, and in a game, as Pac said at the top of the show, the game went back and forth. One team would go on, what, like a 10-1 run? Next team would go on like 11-3 run.
It was
crazy.
I was writing down streaks last night because that game had bizarre streaks. I mean, North Carolina had runs of 9-0, 8-0, 7-0, and 10-2 in the game. Syracuse had runs of 8-0, 11-0, 10-0, and 11-3. I mean, it was weird. It was a weird ebb and flow game. It really was. Bizarro.
Yeah. Buddy Boeheim is awesome as a guest on this show, and he's a really good basketball player. And last night, he was the spark. 26 points. The Orange win 72-70. They were up 14 with 5:18 to play the 11, and there were runs back and forth. It got down to what? I think one possession. Carolina had the ball, maybe with a chance to get it to one possession.
They had the ball.
Free throws became a deal.
That's it.
Yeah,
Syracuse. It's a good thing for Syracuse that game ended because it felt like if it went another 30 seconds, the way that North Carolina would shoot, miss, rebound, shoot, miss, rebound, shoot, miss, rebound, that eventually it would make one. You know, that this thing would have been tied up and ready to go. But the bottom line is in scoreboard, and Syracuse had to win, and they did. And it sets up, again, another game for them tomorrow when Clemson comes to town. Now, keep in mind, Syracuse at Atlanta Saturday. 2 days later, play North Carolina. 2 days later, a afternoon game against Clemson. What, five? I think it's a 5 o'clock start. So that is, hey, that's a tough stretch. Georgia Tech on the road, North Carolina, Clemson, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. But they have to win. Have to win the game tomorrow.
By the way, Matt Park with a text last night, or a tweet last night, rather, the voice of the Orange, Syracuse – is including tonight's game, which was last night, teams that have been out-rebounded by 20 or more this season are now 7-249. 256 games, only seven times the team has won. And for Syracuse, it's the second time in 10 years when they were out-rebounded by 20 or more and still won. Jeez. The other was the 2018 NCAA tournament game against Michigan State in Detroit. Think about it, though, Pac. We have said this before. Carolina's best offense is sometimes a missed shot. Last night, even that offense wasn't good enough to beat the Orange.
And I'm still concerned about Syracuse physically because, like I said, at the end of that game, if you watched it, they had guys on the floor, a couple guys fouled out. They got guys walking and limping around. I mean, they were really – I mean, they knew how important that game was last night. And there were dudes jumping on the floor and going after every loose ball. They were beat up and banged up when that game ended. And there'll be some ice, not necessarily the kind they really want, but that team needs to get healed up and in a hurry because Clemson's coming to town on a five-game winning streak, feeling good about life. They got that double bye.
Yep.
They're eyeballing that, and Syracuse must win that game. And for North Carolina, the number really was 20 last night, plus 20 in rebounds, 20 turnovers, which is a bugaboo, has been, and four of 20 from three. That number's got to get better. I mean, they shot lights out against Duke, as you mentioned, 10-15 from beyond the three in the perimeter in the first go around. If they go 4 of 20 Saturday against Duke, that'll be a problem. That's a real problem.
Yeah. The Orange and Clemson, by the way, is 5 o'clock. Chris Patola and I'll have the call for you, on ACC Network. It's part of a big night of basketball. with three ball games, 5, 7, and 9 for you on Wednesday on ACC.
You're doing a game every night.
The other ball game
you're doing a game every night. Who do you think you are, Jay Alter? Your voice could be all right. I mean, you're kind of froggy.
Well,
I mean, I know it's Elon Day.
Oh, I'll be fine.
You better get some of that hot tea, and I like that honey and lemon and something else for it. Soothe it. Are you doing games
I think
every
I'll
night?
Be fine. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. No, this be the last two. Thanks for asking. All right. The the other ball game, Virginia beat Miami last night at JPJ. Sam Hauser went for 18. Cavaliers in their three-game skid with a win over Miami. By the way, Kane's orange throwbacks to the days of Tim James and Johnny Hemsley last night. Ain't going to lie to you, boys. I like those. I'd like to see them in green, by the way. The orange was fine, but I'd like to see the green version of that jersey brought back.
Drew Brooks was not
Cavaliers
a fan.
Win, though, by 11.
Drew Brooks, not
I
a
know
fan.
One
of the Lumberjacks was not happy with the Miami look last night.
Yeah. But I liked it. I'd like to see it in green. Virginia looked the part last night. Cavaliers kind of got it back, I thought, a little bit, Pac.
You know, that game was closer than I thought it was going to be. I got to be honest with you. The fact that Tony Bennett did not start Huff and Kihei Clark in the second half, it was a telling sign to me that he wants his guys dialed in to understand, hey, it is March. You have got to be ready to play every single night. Three-game losing streak. Those guys didn't start in the second half. That was telling to me that he's just trying to tweak and make sure they understand what's at stake now moving forward for the Hoos.
Yep. It's a win for Virginia, though, and keeps the Cavaliers on track for the double bye, though, right?
Yes.
That's the important part.
That's right.
For Tony Bennett's team. And, of course, they get Louisville to close the regular season. When we come back on Packer and Durham, let the awards season begin. The Blue Ribbon panel has spoken, and we've got the official ACC Women's Basketball Awards to certainly personify the Power Hour next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.